Thanks for listening to the Revelation Lecture Podcast, an audio service of the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Library. For more, please visit www.wls.wells.net. Lecture 4, Part A.
Grant us the presence of thy Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds so that we may behold wondrous things in the holy book which you have given us by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I get started, I want to tell you something that I should have told you last time. Maybe some of you have figured it out for yourself already. Time before last, really, I distributed chapter 6 to 11, the section head of chapter 6 to 11. And if you read through those pages, you know that they're not in order. Page 10 should be page 11 and the other way around. And then I'm sure it will make a little more sense. Now, last time we covered chapters 4 and 5. Today, then, we start with chapter 6. And as usual, I will read the NIV and then just call your attention to some of the differences between the NIV and the King James. Now, in chapter 4 and 5 had given us a vision of heaven. We saw God sitting on his throne, the triune God revealing himself, God sitting on the throne, God the Father sitting on the throne, the Holy Spirit as the seven spirits of God that were around the throne, the seven lamps that were around the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, and the Lamb who stood to the right of the throne, which of course is a reference to the fact that the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And then we heard the saints around, first of all, the saints around the throne, the 24 elders, the representatives of the Old Testament church and the New Testament church, and the 10,000 times 10,000 of the thousands of thousands who encircled the throne and all singing hymns of praise to God. And these people sitting around the throne said that God has, the Lord, the Lamb has redeemed us to God from all nations and tribes and people and tongues from all over the world, then has redeemed us to God by his blood and has made us kings and priests. Now, if we are kings and priests and shall reign on the earth, you would expect that everything's going to go fine for God's people. If we are the children of God, if we really are the people of God, then shouldn't everything go well for us? That's what we would expect. Now, the vision with the book sealed with seven seals, as we saw last time, is really the book of the future, which only the Lamb of God can open. And now he tells us then what the future is going to be like for these people who are kings and priests. And the picture is not at all one that you would expect. Actually, it's just the very opposite of what you would expect. The prophet sees the future, John sees the future, and he sees a great many calamities coming upon the world where God's people live. We shall reign on the earth, and on this earth where we shall reign, where we are kings and priests to God, things aren't going to go at all the way we might expect them to go because we are God's children. And that's the point then that is made in chapter 6. John says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. Now, the King James says, come and see. The earliest Greek manuscripts don't have that word, come and see. When you say come and see, it sounds as though the words are addressed to John, but John is already seeing. But come, those words are addressed to the rider, they're spoken four times you get the word come, and each time the word come is followed by a rider coming forth. See, a rider rides out when the one of the four beasts says, come and see. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Now, a great many Lutheran commentators view this rider on the white horse as being a symbol of the Antichrist. Some of them say this is the Antichrist. Some of them say that this is civil government as an enemy of Christ. But I have my doubts about that, and I'll tell you why after we finish with the other horses. We'll just let this one go for the present and not decide just exactly who the rider on the white horse is. But when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay one another or slay each other. To him was given a large sword. So now this rider on the second horse is more closely identified as one who is able to take peace from the earth. Well, when the peace is taken away from the earth, then you have, of course, a state of war. So the rider on the red horse obviously is a symbol for war and bloodshed. So let's put that down on the board then. So we'll leave the first seal uninterpreted for the present. Now the second seal is a red horse, and the second seal is opened. John sees a red horse, and this red horse is identified as war. The word war isn't used, but it says that this rider will take peace from the earth. And that obviously then is a state of war that he brings about. Now when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Scales, upset of balances, says the King James, used for weighing things, and what is weighed is made very clear. And I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." Now, the King James says, "A measure of wheat for a penny and 3 measures of barley for a penny." Now, that's really closer to the original Greek. The Greek word is given to you at the bottom of the page in your NIV. You'll notice that it says the Greek word is denarius. Now, a denarius, that word is translated as penny in English regularly in the New Testament. A denarius was a Greek coin that is worth about 17 cents in our money. That is probably worth more than that today, but 17 cents is the figure that's always given in the Bible dictionaries. Now, maybe today it would be worth, at the price of silver, it was a silver coin, I suppose it probably would be worth 3 or 4 times as much, maybe 5 times as much as that. But the value that's always given for a denarius is 17 cents. Now, that was also the amount of money that a man usually earned in a day as a common laborer. 17 cents was a day's wage. You know that from the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. There you have that word penny also, which is the same Greek word, denarius, again, that you have here. You remember that when the laborers were hired for the vineyard, they all agreed that they would work all day for a penny. And you remember how it says when they came who had been hired last and had worked only for an hour, they received every man a penny. In other words, they received a full day's wage for the time that they had put in. Now, a measure of wheat, the Greek word there is koinix, and that's also given you at the bottom of the page in your NIV Bible, and I think you have it in the margin if you have the King James. It says a measure is about a quart. So what this voice is saying is really this: a quart of wheat for a day's wages. I mean, that's an interpretation of what the Greek says, and makes it really clear, although it doesn't translate the words that are there, but it interprets the word penny as a day's wages, which is correct. So now it was usually figured too that a man needed a quart of wheat to keep himself alive for a day. That was one man's food for a day. So that you would say, for one day's wages, he could buy enough food to keep himself alive. If he bought barley, which was quite a bit cheaper, about one-third the price of wheat, then he could get 3 quarts of barley. That was more than he needed for himself. Then he'd have a little bit left over for his family, too. Now, in a modern equivalent, you might say that what this voice is saying, a loaf of bread for, well, what's a day's wage today? If you're a plumber, I guess it's close to $100, huh? Even more. Does a plumber get today $30 an hour? That's what, he doesn't get that much, but that's what the company gets. I don't know what a plumber's wage is, $15 an hour maybe? I'm not sure. But eight hours a day, so that would be $120 a day, huh? So a loaf of bread for $120. Well, when does bread cost that much? That's during a time of scarcity, tremendous scarcity. And this is a black horse. What this black horse represents then is a time of scarcity of food. And that we call then famine. Third seal, black horse. Now the fourth horse. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. The Greek word is interesting. The Greek word is really green, pale green. The Greek word is chloros. That's the word from which we get the word chlorophyll, by the way. So chloros, a green horse. This is the word that was used for the color of a man when he's sick. The Greeks didn't. The Greeks said when a man looked sick, he was green. We sometimes talk that way too. We say you look a little green around the edges, instead of saying you look pale. So that's how you get the translation pale. Then a pale horse. So when people are pale, then they are sick. So this fourth seal, which is a pale horse, is sick. I know that this begins to mean something to you, or begins to remind you of something. Let's take the next one while we're at it then. Well, first of all, he interprets it. He says, the pale horse's rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword and by heaven again. See, sword and famine and plague. So that all three are summed up again, the three great calamities that men can expect in this world. Now, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. Now, so the fifth seal is not a horse now, but the fifth seal is souls under the altar. And those souls are identified as the souls of people who had been killed because of the word of God. And when are people killed because of the word of God? During times of persecution. Okay, now if you know your Bible well, that list ought to mean something to you. War, famine, sickness or plague or pestilence and persecution. Does it remind you of anything?
Four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Well, I'm having trouble hearing all these answers. Let me just, yes?
Signs of the end of the world.
Signs of the end of the world, yes. Matthew 24. You want to take a look at Matthew 24 and Luke 21. First, let's look at Matthew 24. Now, one thing you might remember is, the gospel writers don't always report everything that Jesus said, and they don't always report it in exactly the same way. Some of them select some things, others select other things. But generally, we have to say that in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, you have the same speech of Jesus reported. Now, let's just look at Matthew 24. Let's start at the beginning. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." So that's war, huh? "And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places, all these are the beginning of birth pains." The King James says the beginning of sorrows. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then will the end come." Now, very similar to the list that you have here. There shall be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines, but then it says earthquakes, and you will be persecuted. Now, in Luke 21, the list is a little bit different. And we'll help to throw some light on the order that you have here, too. Luke chapter 21, starting at verse 10. Verse 9. "When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes." Now, the earthquakes are mentioned first there. "And famines and pestilences." There you have famines and sickness in that order. So they're not always in the same order. But then in verse 8:12 it says, "Before all this they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name." And then finally it says they will be put to death for their faith. So you have here, then, the same signs of the end of the world that Jesus had spoken of in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Sometimes in the same order. Now, I said we're going to wait with a white horse until later. There are two signs of the end of the world that haven't been mentioned. There are three. One is there will be false Christs who claim to be Christ. They claim to be the Messiah, and they aren't. Secondly, there will be false prophets. And then this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So we would say, beside these signs that we have on the board, you have false Christs, false prophets, and the gospel preached in all the world.